I think, to understand the gospel lesson today. It might help to try to put ourselves in the story. So I invite you to imagine it as if this story might be told by someone who was there. Abigail is my friend. So when the first wave of sickness swept over our little town of Nain and took the life of her husband, my heart hurt for her. A widow in our community is called a silent person. They have no voice. They have no control over what happens to them. They can't earn a living, hold a job, have property. But Abigail was blessed because she had a son. And he could bring home food for her and keep a roof over her head. And he would have children for her, so she would be a grandmother and full of joy. So when the second wave of illness devastated our little town and took the life of Abigail's only son, my heart bled for her. Now she would be destitute. She would be a beggar. That's the way it is in my community. She could glean what was left over after the harvest, and that's it. So we followed Abigail, all her friends, as she followed the bier, the platform, the framework on which the dead body of her son lay, as we walked with her to the cemetery. But as we got to the edge of town, we saw a very strange sight. A whole crowd of strangers was coming toward us. They had clearly traveled quite a distance. And one man stepped forward and looked right at Abigail. He looked at her face. And you could see that he was clearly moved, that he had a sense of compassion, even though he was a stranger to her and she to him. And then he said to her, "Don't cry." People around me began murmuring, "Why is he saying that? Who is that man? What's this all about?" But their murmurs turned to gasps when he reached out and touched the bier, the pallet on which this dead body lay. Even the bearers stood still, because that was to defile himself in our custom. No one did this without having to be the ones to carry the dead body. And here a stranger touches the bier, and then he speaks to the dead body. He says to this body, "Young man, I tell you, rise up." And then the comments around me were very audible. "This man is crazy. Get him out of here. What's going on?" And suddenly, the body moved. It moved. There's no way to explain it other than to say what wasn't there suddenly was. There was no life, but we saw the body move. And then this, now a person again, this man, this young man, sat up and began speaking. And at that point, people were screaming and people were fainting. But the man who had spoken to him came to him and put his arm around the young man and helped him off of the pallet, walked him around to where Abigail, his mother, stood. And Abigail looked at her son. Her eyes were full of emotion. She was scared. She was happy. She was confused. And she was paralyzed until her son reached out and touched her shoulder. And then she collapsed into his arms, sobbing and laughing and hugging him. His life had been returned to him, and her life had been given back to her. There are two things about this gospel lesson that I think are important. First, Jesus' reaction to the widow, and then the crowd's response to him. We're told that Jesus had compassion for her. And the word compassion, there's a specific word in Greek, of course, and that very same word is used to describe how the father of the prodigal son felt when, after months and months, and his son had been gone and his father assumed dead, he saw his son coming down the road to the farm. And full of compassion, the father could not stop himself, even though it was very unseemly in his day to go running. He ran down the road, he threw his arms around his son, and he kissed him. Compassion. That same word that Jesus felt was used to describe how the Good Samaritan felt when he came across this sad, sad scene of a man bloodied and nearly dead and clothes torn off of him and goods taken, and he had compassion. He could not help himself, but he had to help. This compassion comes, the Greeks always thought that your feelings were in your stomach, so it comes from the inner parts of you. It was as if Jesus could not help but help the widow because of his compassion. The crowd, their response, we're told, is that every one of them was grasped in fear. It was like it had a hold on them. They were terrified. And I told this story of trying to help us get into it because I think we'd be afraid too. I think it would terrify us. I think it would terrify us because we're used to being able to depend on things, depend on the laws of nature. And a miracle is, by definition, something that is supernatural, above the laws of nature. So where does that leave us? Feeling lost, out of control? I think. Jesus told us time and time again that the end of this life is not the end. Told us that there will be a place for us, told us that that's part of the reason he came and died. Our experience tells us we've never seen this. But there's another experience that tells us we can believe it. And that is our experience of how God has interacted with people. I mean, from the very beginning, we think back to the Garden of Eden, God was all about life, not death. Life full of love. And when that life didn't last, then God chose a particular people, the nation of Israel, to bless. But God wasn't content just to bless one nation. They were to be a nation to bring light to the whole world and draw all other nations into this light of God's love. And then, to reinforce that, God sent Jesus. Now, he could only heal a few people. There were probably many widows who wished that he would have happened upon them and healed their and brought their sons back to life. And God wasn't content with Jesus only helping a few people. So Jesus had disciples, and he sent disciples out to the ends of the earth. God sees us, and God sees the pain that death brings into our lives, that death rips our loved ones out of our arms, that the fear of death wrings the joy out of life. And God is not content with that. And so God, through Jesus Christ, lived and died to give us and rose to give us a different life, a new life, a life without death. It is hard for us to believe in miracles. And we can go through life accepting the idea that death is our fate. But if we think of the experience we've had with God, we realize that the only rational belief in what will happen to us in our future is that Jesus will keep his promise. So we can go through life accepting that death is our fate, but God does not accept it and never will. And one day, in the next life, we will know the depth of God's compassion when Jesus looks at us and says, "I tell you, rise up," and we will.